We are nearing the end of Lent, which means we are getting closer to Holy Week. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and that Friday is Good Friday, when we commemorate the death of Jesus on the cross. In John 11, we have the death of Lazarus, one of Jesus's close friends. And this story foreshadows what would happen to Jesus at his death. Lazarus died and was placed in a tomb, wrapped in cloths, just as Jesus was. But the stone was rolled away and Lazarus came out of the tomb. The same would happen to Jesus on Easter Sunday. It's fitting that this was the last big miracle of Jesus before he went to the death. And I say big miracle because it wasn't his last. His last miracle was at his arrest when he healed the ear of the high priest's servant. But the raising of Lazarus was a pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry. It was the final straw for the Jewish leaders. When Jesus raised Lazarus, the Jews plotted to kill both of them. Not just Jesus, but Lazarus too. As far as we know, the plot against Lazarus was never carried out, but the plot against Jesus would result in the cross. John 11 tells us that Lazarus was from the town of Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, and he was the brother of Mary and Martha. We know Mary and Martha from Luke 10. When Martha was upset with Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet rather than helping her with serving her guests. Jesus had to correct Martha, and a similar situation will occur in John 11. When Jesus received word that Lazarus was sick, he didn't travel to Bethany right away. He stayed where he was for 2 more days, and then he set out for Bethany. By the time he arrived, he found that Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. Martha and Mary were grieving, and they were being comforted by people in the community. Verse 20 says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.'" Compare this scene with Luke 10. In Luke 10, Martha was busy doing hospitality while Mary sat with the disciples listening to Jesus' teaching. Martha complained to Jesus about Mary, but Jesus said Mary was in the right. John 11 has a similar situation where Martha left Mary sitting in the house so that she could go and speak with Jesus. Even her first comment to Jesus could be taken as an implicit complaint. "Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened. Don't you care? Won't you do something?" It was sort of a complaint, but not one from a selfish or rebellious intent. Martha was grieving, and she was hopeful that Jesus would act. She affirmed that he had the power of God. As their conversation continued, Jesus even gave Martha a correction. Verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" When Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again," Martha didn't realize that he meant on that very day. She said, "Yes, I know he will rise again in the resurrection." She was thinking of a future event at the end of history. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live and never die. The point of this correction was to say, resurrection is because of a person, and I am that person. I have the power to raise the dead, and I decide when to do it. In other words, I don't have to wait till the end of history. I can do it today. Martha's response was that she believed. She affirmed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and the Son of God. And by the way, verse 24 is a very important verse regarding the physical resurrection of all people. For Martha to say what she said, he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. What does that imply? First, it implies that the Jews believed in a last day, a final day when God would come to judge humanity. Second, it implies that the Jews believed in physical resurrection, not just spiritual resurrection. The whole context of this story is physical death and grieving the loss of a person's bodily presence. Martha wanted Lazarus to live physically, not just spiritually. Bodily resurrection is what she meant, and this verse proves that it was a belief held by the Jews. It was a Jewish belief, and Jesus did not say she was wrong. In fact, he turned right around and performed a physical resurrection. That confirmed the doctrine of physical resurrection. It didn't take away from it or disprove it. So if you encounter people today who say that the Bible doesn't teach a final day or a physical resurrection and that the Jews never believed in those things, take them to Martha in John 11. The other sister, Mary, would eventually leave the house to meet Jesus on his way. When she saw him, it says she fell down at his feet. In Luke 10, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and here we see her at his feet again. She said the same thing that Martha had said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But for Mary, there was no correction or teaching moment. When Jesus saw her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He said, where have you laid him? Take me to him. In verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Poor Felix is weeping right now. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. This is known as the shortest verse in the English Bible with only two words. Now, there is another two-word verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Does anybody know what that says? Rejoice always. Rejoice always. But if you go by the number of letters, Jesus wept is the shortest. It is short, but it's profound. What we're seeing here is the deep, deep love that Jesus had for Lazarus and the sisters. He wept. He groaned. He was troubled. Jesus was emotionally affected by the loss of his dear friend. Never forget that Jesus has feelings. Jesus has feelings. He has emotions, just like you do. When you grieve, he grieves. When you suffer, he suffers with you because he loves you that much. And get this, Jesus grieved even when he knew resurrection was coming. Jesus grieved even when he knew resurrection was coming. The hope of the resurrection does not take away your grief. Both are held together. We grieve, but with hope. We do not grieve without hope. We grieve with hope. The Jews with them remarked at how much Jesus loved Lazarus. Everyone could tell by how Jesus was responding to this. But some were critical, saying, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Martha's focus, Mary's focus, and the focus of the people was on preventing death. Preventing Lazarus from dying. Why didn't Jesus stop this? But you see, this was all a part of Jesus' plan. When he learned that Lazarus was sick, did he rush to Bethany right away? No. He waited 2 days before going. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die, and he intentionally showed up late. He intentionally showed up late. He showed up on day 4 of Lazarus being dead because he knew the purpose of Lazarus' death was resurrection. The purpose of this death was for Jesus to perform this miracle. Verse 38 describes the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus commanded them to take away the stone. But Martha, again, God bless her, Martha objected, saying, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. In other words, what are you doing? Why would we remove the stone? It is not going to be pleasant. So Jesus, once again, gave a correction. Verse 40, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Martha still didn't understand Jesus' plan, but it would soon be revealed. They removed the stone as Jesus commanded, and he lifted up his eyes and began to pray in verse 41. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus was publicly and verbally giving glory to the Father. He wanted people to know that he was from God, using the power of God, and that God listens to him. God listens to him. And think about it. If the Father hears Jesus, that means Jesus has authority. He represents God, and he works on behalf of God. And of course, if the Father hears Jesus, then that means so should we. Verse 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The resurrection of Lazarus is the last of 3 resurrections Jesus performed in his ministry, at least ones that we know about. This was not the first time that Jesus raised the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter, he raised the widow's son from Nain, and he raised Lazarus. Each of those people had died, but at different degrees of death. Jairus' daughter was still at home. The widow's son was about to be buried, being carried off. But Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. He was the first to actually come out of a tomb. People knew that Jesus could raise the dead to life, but dead for 4 days? Buried in a tomb for 4 days? Even that was no match for Jesus. The tomb had no power over him. Last week, we heard the story of the blind man being healed, moving out of darkness into the light. The same was literally true for Lazarus. He went from the darkness of death, the darkness of a closed cave, and he returned to the light. As you know, light and dark are repeated themes in John's gospel. And this could be why Jesus waited till day four. Why day four and not day two or three? Well, consider that day four of creation was the creation of the sun, moon, and stars. Lights in the firmament to govern the day and the night. Lazarus moved from darkness to light. Now, to clarify, the resurrections of Lazarus and the other two, they were not resurrections to immortality. Okay? We don't believe that Jesus raised these people with immortal bodies, never to die again. We believe these were temporary resurrections, with the people dying again at a later time. We distinguish between those kinds of resurrections and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was the first person, and thus far the only person, to have an immortal resurrection. Jesus was raised with a glorified body, never to die again. Paul calls him the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He was the first immortal man. When Lazarus left behind his cloths, he would need them again eventually. Not so for Jesus. When Jesus left behind his cloths, it was for good. But Jesus being the first fruits of immortal resurrection means that more fruits, more crops will come. First fruits implies more fruits. With Martha, we confess that there will be a last day of judgment, that all flesh will rise immortal, and that the righteous will live with Christ on the earth for eternity. We will share in the glory of Christ, which will be even greater than the glory that Lazarus had at his temporary resurrection. When Jesus raised the dead, he was giving people a foretaste of that greater glory. Imagine the happiness and joy that Martha and Mary would have had when Lazarus was raised. That joy and more. That joy and more is what we will have when we are reunited in the flesh with our brothers and sisters forever. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in him, though they die, they will live. If you believe in Jesus, you have spiritual life, and spiritual life results in physical life. Jesus says those who believe shall never die. And he didn't mean that literally, because he just affirmed that they would die, right? But he means that death is not the end, and death will not have the last word. Your death will not be in a state of finality. Your death will be temporary, because it will be interrupted by resurrection. Do you believe this? That's what Jesus asked Martha, and it's what he asks you today. Do you believe this? May you answer as Martha answered, proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.